And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Today, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
And a beard here on Declare. Your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, in studio, we got Keith Knight, Don't Tread on Anyone podcast. You know, he has a year ago, he has a podcast that he did with Jacob Hornberger. That's now running for Presidente. And I would definitely want to listen to that. We'll talk about that in a little bit. Davi Barker, you know, hanging out. What's up? He's got a heads up early start on his artwork. He's going to be submitting for Anti-War's new poster contest and everything. And on the phone, we have Drew Phillips, a good friend of Davi and I. And he's going to tell us all about Anti-War and their contest and such. Are you not... Drew, go, please.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right, so tell me what's up. Okay, which mic are you on? Here, Davi, do that one.
Hello.
Okay, check, that check. One. There you go.
We are going down. Our landing gear is down.
All right, here we go. All right, Drew, how have you been? Oh, Saturday, Davi and I are going to go down to Tucson to the Arizona Libertarian Convention. That's like all day. When the hell does that happen? I mean, you know, God. It's like you get there at 8 for registration, done till 5:30. I mean, damn. So are you going, Drew?
Negative, Ghost Rider. The pattern is full. I don't think so.
Oh, bummer.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be there. I just to listen to the candidates and see Davi and hang out and learn about the Libertarian Party. I've never heard of it, and I'm interested to learn more about what they do.
Yeah, I'm still waiting. What I want to do is have you, first off, tell me what's going on with the anti-war contest, the promotion. What are you calling this thing?
We're calling it anti-war propaganda or counter-propaganda. You know, the Middle East is a powder keg, right? So the anti-war left is back, and it's ripe for a contest for anybody, for both the left and the right, and everybody in between and on the edges, for them to you know, come together. There's a little bit of that activist unite sentiment here about anyone can participate, and that there is a resurgence of that foreign policy is a centerpiece in what's happening in the presidential debate going on in 2020, and now we want to remind people that antiwar.com is the best source for news, views, and foreign policy, you know, reporting. So this is our outreach wing. This is something that people can do rather than just reading the doom and gloom every day on the website. People can get involved if they're an artist or have some graphic skills and create what we're calling anti-war poster propaganda. This isn't necessarily just a meme contest, although of course everyone can participate, and we want everybody to be able to express themselves. But you know, and I look forward to chatting with Davi a little bit about what anti-war propaganda, what poster art played in the propaganda wars that the U.S. government has used, and how we can sort of twist that into our own anti-war propaganda or peace propaganda.
I think that was that aimed at you, man.
Was that aimed at me? We want to talk about this right now? Let's do it.
On the microphone.
Hello. Yeah, that's way better.
Okay.
Yeah, Mick Jagger crap out of that.
I'm planning on entering for sure. I've started a couple of drafts of some things. I don't want to give it away. I don't know. Are you a judge? Should we not consort?
No, that's fine. I will not be swayed by our friendship. Okay. You will lose.
Yeah, well, pinky swear.
But please try your hardest. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't tape a banana on the wall or anything.
Right.
So what is it? You know, the idea is that art has some impact on the anti-war thing, and this has history. And you know, like I got, you know, behind me up here, war is over if you want it right there. And so, what do you think? You've done this before, haven't you? As an anti-war, you've had different posters.
They've done a bunch of art contests.
Yeah.
You know, well, so we did this. We did a meme contest, and that's slightly different. A meme, you know, a meme doesn't necessarily have any artistic creativity to it. A meme can, you know, is an image with some text. A meme is, you know, and there's a lot of that going around right now, and they're funny and they're, you know, ironic, and they make a point, and they, you know, drive something home for people. But that's not necessarily propaganda. That's not, you're not necessarily delivering, you know, a message. And even the artwork that you're showing there, a lot of people immediately identified, like the clenched fist thing, that has sort of a communist, leftist a tone to it. And that's very deliberate, trying to reach, you know, people of on the other side of the political spectrum, or the left, to say, you know, this is open to you. This isn't, you know, this is not the time to get caught in the weeds and the minutiae. This is the time to sort of find common ground and build that single issue coalition, talking about, you know, why it's necessary to end it, the empire and the warfare state.
Okay, we talk, what is the goal? Is ending the empire, ending the wars, stop, you know, 50% reduction in taxes and, you know, military-industrial complex budget or something? I mean, what's the goal?
Oh, well, you know, nothing short than world peace, Ernie, but you got to start somewhere and, you know, bringing people together.
I think you got to undermine what people think the justifications for war are. Like, I saw one, this was it was actually an animated.
Are you lobbying for your artwork? Is that what you're doing here?
I haven't done this yet. This is someone else's artwork. It was a collage of various, like, things that the U.S. had destroyed, and then the text was just, this has nothing to do with your freedom. And it's like, if people really think we're fighting for our freedom, like, it's true. Like, there's nothing going on in Syria that has anything to do with the freedom of someone in Montana.
Other than taking it away.
But that's how they always justify it. They go, the Japanese are threatening our freedom. Well, we really started that war to save democracy. Afghanistan attacked us. Well, we're really there to get the Taliban. Saddam's going to nuke us. Well, we wanted to bring democracy to the third world. So it's this constant post-ad hoc rationalization. I forget what you'd call it. But yeah, that's why they constantly get you on both sides. They scare you, and then they pull at your heartstrings. Well, we're trying to help other people. That is the great war propaganda that antiwar.com helps us see through. That's why I love that site.
Thank you. I you know, I mean, other than the smoking age being 21, our freedoms aren't really over there, right? Like, it's not... that was a short jab.
Syria took our bump stocks.
right. Like,
that was so ridiculous.
It is. I mean, like, every officer in the U.S. has taken an oath to cage us for not abiding by the laws of politicians who we all know are corrupt. And yet I'm supposed to be worried about Assad. Look, I hate Assad and Saddam and Soleimani, but they're not the ones who are claiming the right to rule me at this point. So for someone to say, you know, hey, I'm doing this for you. Give me half of what you own or I'll cage you and shoot you if you resist. Of course, that's the most ridiculous thing. The fact that people can't see that is only the result of propaganda and mind control.
Now, what is antiwar.com? Tell the audience about, you know, the history of antiwar.com. You know, we should, you know, let people know how long they've been around. You know, I got, you know, my story, but, you know, give us the commercial, Drew.
24 years of reporting of non-interventionism, you know, that long, and been through several iterations, through several administrations, going back to the Clinton administration, certainly longer than I've been paying attention to the news. But you know, had a huge peak under the Bush, you know, Bush Jr. administration, and on through the Clinton, but dating back to the Clinton administration. I'd say anywhere from 12 to 15 original articles a day, 8 to 10.
All right, we're at the end. Hold on, we're right back.
Not sure if this is a good time to buy or sell your home, or feel like the process can be overwhelming and confusing? This is Donna Hancock with Silver Alliance Realty in Phoenix, Arizona, and I can take some of the guesswork out of the home buying or selling process, providing you with market trends in your area and detailing what to expect before, during, and after the process. A home is a place where the most important moments in your life happen, so making sure that you know exactly what to expect along the way helps to ensure that you have control. The future is here, so let me help you move forward with your real estate needs. Being in the real estate business for almost 20 years now has afforded me knowledge of the market, networking with industry specialists along the way. Now more than ever, you need an agent that can help you make sense of what many think is a complicated and mysterious process. Feel free to call or message me at 602-828-1819. That's 602-828-1819. Or visit my webpage today at donnahancock.com.
As of today, the average cost of a pack of cigarettes has gone up to 2 hand jobs and a stick of beef jerky. For more, we go now to Onion News Network prison economics expert Hal Rogan.
The prison economy runs on cigarettes. They're involved in every economic transaction at some stage, from contract killings to naked woman picture acquisition.
Right.
That's why we've got shampoo at 6 batteries. We've got tattoos at 50 commissary stamps.
Now, for what it's really like out there in the market, let's check in with major cigarette trader Big Dap Ramirez. Big Dap, nice to see you again.
Thanks, Rick. Good to see you. What's happening, Hal?
How's it going, Big Dap?
Now, it's obviously a boom time for cigarettes. Right now,
I'm getting a lot of hand jobs.
But with prices this high, analysis shows you're going to be seeing a drop off in real sales soon as consumers turn to smoking grass fajos.
Look, we've been through this before. The market teaches us not to panic. Mm. But if I learn anything in this game, it's that a wife or girlfriend will pass off a few decks in the boneyard. Supply will normalize, and we'll see cigarettes returning to a single hand job or less.
Let's hope. Big Dap, best of luck to you. We'll keep checking in on the story with Hal throughout the day.
Thanks, Rick.
Moving on to some happier news in Atlanta today, 2 snitches were beaten to death.
This is the Onion News Network.
Okay, there's that. I'm sorry, what were you saying, Keith?
I was curious. I'm going to cash out on some sick time and go Saturday for the sake of it. I'll make sure to get down there.
You going to drive or you need a ride or what?
How long are you going to stay?
I don't know how long we stay in, Drew. Are we partying all night or what?
What's up to you, man? I heard something about donuts with the candidates. I don't know anything.
We have to leave here. Tim Pachote's going, so it'd be me, Davi, Tim, and got room for you. But we have to leave here like, God, 6 or something, 6:30. I mean, it's early. And then it's not even over till 5:30. You know, so we're not gonna get back till like 9:10 or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's some ridiculous all day. It used to be, well, it was up here, and you have, like, you start at 9, you're done by 3 kind of crap, and it's like, no, they're dragging it out. Because they got some speakers, and, of course, all the debates, the presidential candidates will be down there, and Mark Victor's speaking. You know, he's going to be pushing his kinder, gentler, live and let live principle thing. Did you read his article in Lou Rockwell on reasonable gun control?
No, I didn't, but the only thing reasonable is the state not monopolizing guns, so
no,
I could save myself some time there.
It'd be boom. You know, his thing is that he is so upset about Larkin Rose and my, you know, advocacy and successful kind of argument against government at all. And he's like, no, it's eventually going to be a world government, and you want libertarians running it, right?
No,
I'm telling you, I will withhold judgment until you guys hear he's going to give, and he's got a lot of press up from me on this. We'll see how it goes. All right, we're coming back.
Shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
And we're right back. We got we're yakking it in the break. What? I'm looking forward to the convention this Saturday. good friend, Mark Victor. We've been friends for 25 years, and he's kind of gone, you know, in his older age, kinder, gentler, libertarian, don't scare the horses kind of thing.
Kindler, gentler to who? The state or fellow libertarians?
I'm really looking. I think this is going to be the first time that he'll be in it. I mean, there's a lot of, there's libertarians range all over the place. I'm very interested. This is going to be interesting, him doing this presentation. Oh, he kind of toned it. We'll see. It's going to be, if you want to win, kind of thing. And I will see. We'll see. We'll see. That's not me. But I instigated a debate between he and Larkin Rosa and Arcapoco, and there was only about, not even a dozen people in the room. We kind of just went off to a little green room thing.
I saw that, yeah. It's and online.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
Yeah, I couldn't find it. I didn't know. I knew somebody was holding a camera or whatever, but it was Larkin, me, Mark, I think Roger Veer was sitting there. It was some other guys, and they went at it, And, Larkin's true to form, man. He just holds up. And it's just so, Mark is coming up with the live and let live principle or party, or it's like non-aggression, but it's whatever, because, those non-aggression guys, they're just too, they don't get it. You got to have some government. You got to have libertarians in charge of it, too. So it's just, it's going to be interesting to see how he can pull this off. I want to hear what he says, because he's opening the office in Honolulu. And he's going to run. I heard him do a radio show in Honolulu. He sent it to me, and he announced he's going to run for U.S. Senate in Hawaii.
Good for him.
For whenever, I'm just that. Yeah, and 22. Here we go.
He'll take on Tulsi.
Yeah, the anti-war Tulsi. Drew, tell me about Tulsi. Is she getting some love from y'all?
Well, we don't play the politics game, officially, but absolutely, she's And for her bravery, what does she get? She gets marginalized. She gets in the debate some months back, and then the next day she's the biggest trending, keywords on Google. And then what do they say? They say, well, she obviously has Russian bots, So basically, the mainstream media just called every single one of her supporters, or even just people who are curious or who resonated with what she said. You're now a Russian bot. You're the reason that she broke through the censors on that and actually got any amount of attention for that. And then of course, right? She was not in the past few debates, and campaign is all but over. And I think she, as far as I've seen, I think she's still out there on social media and still running a campaign. But can't have that. No, that's not that. That doesn't advance the Democratic Party's agenda one bit, so can't have any of it at Tulsi. But certainly I would on a personal level disagree with some of her other issues, but she was
she's definitely socialist. There's no getting around that on so many things, but it just basically goes, a lot of socialists say, well, if we'd stop spending all this money on this war, we could keep that money we put a gun to your head to take and spend it over here on what I want to spend it on. So that's I'm not a fan of that, but not banshee, bat crap crazy, and reasonable, can speak without shrieking and yelling. Guys, just and she's not bad to look at. That doesn't hurt. So I'm going, why would they not embrace her? She's a woman. Hell, she goes on, I'm a woman of color. I don't know what color she's claiming to be, but I'm going, this is I'm wow. You would think she would be an ideal candidate to be able to compete against, what's going on, but no. Why? What is it, Drew? Why are they so afraid of her?
Oh, truth to power. I don't think it's any much more than that. And I think that, right now I'm ashamed to admit it, but I watch an hour's worth of news in a day, not every day, but I'll turn it on just to see what's happening. And the impeachment thing is dominating the news right now. And it's just like, geez, put a bullet in my head. This is such a distraction. And I like I said in the first segment, I think it's fascinating that foreign policy is now centerpiece because of what happened in Iran, and I think that's good that this is penetrating into the general population, and this is becoming an issue in the debate, and people are actually discussing this stuff. But now it's just kind of like, well, but, you know, that was last week's news, man. And, you know, just sweep it under the rug. And now we're going to talk about the impeachment stuff at nausea. And that just doesn't, you know, interest me. So I think, but I think that's our opportunity. The American people are curious what's going on with foreign policy. And they do start to question, you know, especially when your sons and daughters are at risk. I say this jokingly, but sure, bring back the draft. Let's do this. Let's see. You know, let's really put some let's put our money where our mouth is, and let's show the American people that there is a risk here, and that they need to really consider that foreign policy is important to their lives because you know, their sons and daughters are at risk. Now, look, there's good men and women in the military. That's not what I'm getting at, but you know, they're not the ones that get to make the decisions of who lives and who dies, and that's you know. These are rich man's war for poor men to die in, and I just don't I don't think the American people always get a I don't think it comes full circle yet for them, and I think that it possibly could when you start threatening you know, the idea of a draft. Of course, it is going to happen. It isn't going to happen. I don't know. You know what. What's always fascinated me is you know, we do have a draft in this country in the form of an economic draft. And now you have thousands, I guess millions, of young people screaming for debt forgiveness. Well, don't worry, they're going to give you debt forgiveness. They're going to forgive your student loans. They're just going to make you, spend 2 years in the military for it. And that gets, you know, that I think that caught a lot of people's attention in the last few weeks to this sort of fake threat of them bringing back the draft. And all of a sudden, young people had to really consider, wow, what is my say, and if we go to war or not, and can I have a you know, what are my candidates saying about that? And I think a lot of Democratic voters had to reevaluate what their candidates were saying and what their position on foreign policy was. And I think that, you know, on the right, I think that a lot of Trump supporters who were genuinely believed what he said, that he wanted a smaller foreign policy, that he wanted to reduce some of the interventionism, you know, they have to reconsider his position on some of this stuff. I think some Trump supporters will just make excuses for him, but I think that others are starting to realize that, you know, he's not kept to all of his campaign promises, which, you know, shouldn't surprise any of us. I don't think any administration has followed through on what they've said from a foreign policy perspective in a long time. But, you know, I'd be interested to know, you know, Davi's talking about this this not great hashtag thing. And I think it'd be amazing if Trump supporters came out and were critical of his foreign policy, his support of Yemen and the funding of Saudi Arabia, his blatant lies last Christmas saying, well, we defeated ISIS so we can come home from Syria. It never happened. Well, we're withdrawing troops from Afghanistan. Never happened. You know, how do Trump supporters justify that? And do they make excuses for him? I imagine many of them do.
So, you're thinking Trump isn't anti-war? Is that what you're saying?
Conspiracy theorist, hang up on him quick.
Right? Yeah. I
don't think I know. I know.
I
treason. I can hear it.
We'll be right back.
Why did you move to the Shire?
Okay, I'm looking up as you're doing. I'm looking up Tulsi stuff here, and I'm trying to see. And it looks like there's some grassroots thing going on, putting up signs in Iowa, but she wasn't. In the debate, they're doing everything they can to keep her as low as possible in the polling so that she doesn't qualify to go kick their butt or something. And I don't know how successful they're going to. They got her down, Gabbard, 1%, 2% in polls. Of course, their polls of BS, who cares, and how they word it and everything. But I don't think Tulsi's going away. I think she knows what's going on, and even if she hasn't given up being, she's Congress, right, in Hawaii, so she hasn't given up her seat, has she?
No, she hasn't.
So she's going to be a power, you know, from now on forever anyway, and they may, you know, Tulsi for Speaker, I mean, you know, that kind of thing, because this Pelosi thing, that's getting kind of long in the tooth. Talk about, I mean, you know, damn, does that represent the bad guys? And the Adam Schiff and Pelosi are it. I mean, that's their game. And I mean, if you could compare to Trump anybody else. I mean, you go, we have Trump, whatever their caricature of him is, and you go, do you think you can come up with a Democrat that can, you know, be more adult, the adult in the room, have a different philosophy?
Donald
be,
Trump?
What?
How can they come up with a Democrat more adult than Donald Trump?
Well, I
you
I,
would I, hope. I mean, you think Pelosi is?
I think it's going to end up being the AOC wing of the Democrats.
Oh, that definitely Rashida. Not more adult. But I mean, Tulsi Gabbard, I can see her being represented. And that's what I think the Democrat, the left, is afraid of. But is that Tulsi represents something totally different.
Tulsi is more adult and she's more rational. That's why I don't think it's going to be her. Just because when you can't control someone, there's much less of a likelihood that they'll get in that position. It's not even
which is
like,
what she's been saying.
Like it used to be, pay lip service to anti-war so we could continue the false dichotomy between left and right. But when Obama gets in, we're going to escalate everything as planned. But Tulsi, they're not even letting her get away with the lip service. She's not even president. So the reason they don't like her, even though she's saying the same things Obama said, generally speaking, well, I guess she has a little more authority because she was actually in the military. And she says, yeah, we are pretty much funding terrorists and killing civilians. The fact that she is not easy to control, or she isn't guaranteed to be controlled, I think is what they're afraid of.
Yeah, there's one. You know, this is like here's one thing. There's a stat counter. It's called. I don't even remember. We got this years ago, and it just shows the last 200 or five. I don't. Even, like, I don't subscribe because I don't care. But
are you aware of the Bill Kristol Scott Horton debate? You should pull that up, Ernie, and come back with that.
I can't wait for that.
Okay, hold on a second. Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot all about. All right. So
that's,
what happens?
SohoForum.org.
So the one issue that is really big is gun rights. The gun right category on Freedom's Phoenix is, it's 29 of the last couple of hundred hits on Freedom's Phoenix. So I'm going, wow, that's going to be an issue. When we did the safe thing and we put, well, I know why. It's because of all the DVDs that we sent out. They had Second Amendment is for everyone. Okay, they're starting to pay off. Ha, 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 ha. All right, so I'm going to what?
TheSohoForum.org.
Yeah, I think it's it's not until May, but God, I can't wait to get.
Oh, so they haven't done it yet. Well, we had a thing up when they scheduled it because I called and I'm like, what? Are they really? You know, I guess so. And see the packages here. Now we're coming back.
A Stancock.
Yep, we're back. Okay, the Soho Forum debates, they have these forums, and they have like a set format, and it's always, you know, so-and-so versus so-and-so. You know, it was, wasn't that where Dave Smith debated Nick Sarwark?
It is.
You know, and that got ugly.
I loved that one.
I know, you know.
And they did part two on Dave's podcast, Part of the Problem, which I think was even better.
I'm not a Nick fan. I mean, we're friends, and you know he's from here, and we've interviewed him a lot, and everything. We get along fine, but no. His mindset of what he's doing to the party, it's gonna come back. The pendulum's gonna come back hard, and it's probably gonna be in Austin this year. You know, what do you think of that, Drew? You think you know at the convention it's gonna go slapping around a little bit?
The debate, or are you talking about the LP? I don't think
I'm talking
much of
about
the LP.
I
don't think much of it. The debate though is going to be amazing, and I'm glad you brought that up so you can bring that to your.
Well, I have it up
attention.
Here. Sunday, May 10th, 2020. Resolution: a willingness to intervene and to seek regime change is key to an American foreign policy that benefits America. I mean, the fact that they would even be able to get that question.
An American regime change.
Yeah. Hey, willingness to intervene and to seek regime change.
Right.
So they're talking about foreign policy.
North America, I'm all for it.
Yeah, okay. You guys want to get me in trouble. All right. So we have Bill Kristol for the affirmative, Scott Horton for the negative. All right. Bill Kristol. And I want to know how Scott Horton, they must not think much of Scott Horton. You know, why would they agree to do this?
Well, that is what. I'm sorry, go.
Yeah, I mean, there's rumors that Kristol might not even show. I mean, this is May, so this is a few months out. But the other important point is that where they normally hold this debate isn't that large an auditorium, and yet when they announced it, I guess maybe October, November, tickets at that venue sold out, and now they have a larger venue that holds upwards of 800 people if they could sell it. I mean, there's different configurations, maybe 600 people. Yeah, if you're in the New York area and that's of interest to you, I think you should come out. I think that you don't kid yourself that William Crystal doesn't have supporters who are going to come out to this thing. It is an Oxford-style debate where they vote prior and after the debate to who actually won and who argued their position best. Now, all of us on the show are going to agree that Scott Horton is going to, you know, put the smackdown on him, but I still think it's important for people to get out there and support him, because might we look silly if William Crystal and his fanboys come out and Scott Horton loses? So I think people should check that out and put it on their calendar.
Well, I don't give a crap what their total pack in the house crap is. I mean, we may be on the road with the RV by then. We might be heading to New York. That might be cool.
So all these things have an cumulative effect, and we just want to show that, you know, Scott Horton really has the chops and knows what he's up to. So I appreciate you bringing that to your viewers' attention. And if you like, I got some banner ads I could send them over to you if you'd put them up to promote the event.
Yeah, hell yeah, I'll do that. I can't wait to put Bill Crystal and Scott Horton picture up on the banner ad. I'm like, yep, here we go.
Yeah. I just still can't believe it's happening. Just like Anthony Samaroff.
I can't imagine that it will.
Samaroff had a Soho Forum debate scheduled with Andrew Yang, and they were going to debate universal basic income. Samaroff was going to get him on how taxation is theft in the States, illegitimate. And then, some things came up. Andrew Yang canceled once he started getting popular. I don't know if it was because he started getting popular or people said,
he wasn't
going
to take the hit on this universal basic
This is
income.
Not CNN. We need to come up with something to cancel. I think it might happen with Crystal, but I hope it doesn't.
Even if Crystal pulls out, you know, Scott will keep you entertained for an hour. I promise that.
Scott is, he wants to say what he wants to say. And I don't know if he can do it in a time structure like this. Because Crystal, Scott, if they're doing any kind of research, Scott's easily triggered. You know, you'll go off on something and he'll miss all the stuff that he wants to get in. He's easily triggered on this stuff. He needs to be structured in what he wants to get in there in a time. Because last time I interviewed him, he was critical of Jacob Hornberger for not bringing up certain things. You know, instead of talking about you need to make sure this, that, and so on. And I go, okay, give me an example, you know, in the media how you would do this. Well, he started going on. And I gave him like 30 seconds and I go, time's up. Yeah, but I'm going, time's up. You had your chance. You didn't. I'm going, see, and that's the only thing I'm fearful. He knows so much and how to articulate it. And when you're being challenged or triggered, it'll be interesting to see how he holds up, because he needs to prep himself with all the information that he wants to get out and not be triggered by Crystal, which will be a trigger. And I mean, that's, you know, he's going to be a trigger. And you get that stuff out, and kind of you're not even really debating Bill Crystal. You're for what the proposal is. You know, the intervention to seek regime change is a key to American foreign policy that benefits America. I mean, that's what Bill Crystal and Kissinger, all these guys have been for like ever. And it's stupid as hell. But you're not debating him. But
of course. But
Crystal will do it that way. He'll trigger. And that's the only, fear I have, is that he's easily triggered and will go off on tangents and lose his time and won't get all his stuff out. That's what I fear. But other than that, you know, Crystal doesn't have a chance. But I don't know. Do you know what the debate format is? How much time they get back and forth and stuff?
Just that it's an hour in length, and in the Oxford style, they allow them to counter, and they allow them to kind of go after each other. And you're right, some people will judge this on style and not so much facts. And Crystal is very well, he'll be very well spoken about it, and he's a true believer, and he will argue his position well. And Scott's really going to have to come with his A game. You know, again, I agree with you. Who cares what they say at the end of the day? Morality is right, but still, Crystal will come with his A game, and it'll be compelling. He will justify and rationalize his position, Very well.
So, yeah, no, Scott's got to be able to resist the personal jabs. I mean, he'll do some crap and say, and your mom wears combat boots or something. But
it sounds from the prompt like they're not even being specific about what country they're talking about.
They're not. Regime change as a tactic.
As of everywhere.
Everywhere.
Okay.
As yet, a policy. Bill Kristol was on Twitter saying, you know, all this talk about Russia, counterproductive. What we need to be focusing on is regime change in China. He literally said that on Twitter.
That'll go over well.
I know. This guy. So that's why.
Hong Kong protesters agree.
That's why I like how the resolution is somewhat vague, because it's the policy of regime change. It's the general idea of invading countries, always based on.
You know what's interesting to me? The next one, we had Eric Peters on. He hates electric. We were just talking about this yesterday. It's he's debating a guy on autonomous electric vehicles will create a boost in personal freedom and quality of life and will be commercially viable in less than a decade. For the affirmative, you know, he's a guy that owns an electric taxi automatic service, whatever, in Canada. And then Eric Peters, no! Eric Peters, he's a narco-libertarian writer who uses cars, but he hates electric. I mean, with a passion. And it's almost unreasonable, but... You know, anyway, that'll be interesting. Let's see. Bob Murphy and Anthony Coppola. This is going to be April 20th. To promote a Christian vision of human flourishing, Christians should support free market capitalism.
Oh, that's going to be good, too.
Yeah, there's somebody against that? What the heck?
Yeah, there's lots of Christian socialists out there. Is that the debate?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, that's the guy who... wrote the Pledge of Allegiance, Francis Bellamy, I think his name is. Well, yeah,
that was back 1800s, not Anthony Coppola, this guy. You know.
No, my point is there's a long history of Christian socialism in America.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, they use it. You're going, you know, Jesus,
I didn't think he was the guy debating Bob Murphy.
It started off, Jesus is a socialist. Then in the early 90s is that, you know, that Jesus is Republican. So we did bumper stickers that said Jesus is libertarian with a small L. Okay? I put it on my car. I go to church. They're like, what the hell? I go, he didn't use force. He didn't make him be his brother's keeper. He didn't go to Roman legion to say stab
Jesus
that guy.
Jesus is Chinese.
You know, whatever. Yeah, there was recently they go, well, Jesus was white, you know, or something. I'm like, wow.
Jesus was an extraterrestrial.
Likely than
more
socialist.
Anti-war, Drew Phillips, Dobby Barker, Keith Knight, just a little bit.
From the fourth letter of Captain Mark. Landlubbers are conditioned to believe that the originators of an idea deserve exclusive rights to it, but these innovators are nothing but privateers, granted a monopoly by the crown. Potential inventors are restricted from using their own property and forced to navigate a wilderness of prohibited ideas. These patterned monopolies are intellectual colonization. This alliance of means between the crown and the privateers is not an alignment of ends. Both collude to establish a permission culture, in which everyone second-guesses their own thoughts, never sure which ideas are permissible to develop. But their objectives are different. The crown aims to cripple dissenting opinion, while privateers will only be satiated when all new ideas already fall under their monopoly. This scheme does not protect our information, but seizes it and denies us access. The future belongs to individuals who think, speak, and act freely to create and share without reservation. Join the conversation at PiratesWithoutBorders.com.
You know, Davi says Scott Horton may be a character in that phone game.
Yeah, that launched tonight, by the way. I set it up so that if you were to use my affiliate link and you were to spend money in the app, that it would go to antiwar.com.
What?
Very thoughtful. Thank you.
There's an affiliate program with the app where you can go in and become an affiliate, and then if people sign up for the game using your link and then they spend money in the app, that you'll get some percentage of that, right?
No idea what you're talking about, but if you send me the information, I will thank you and tell
people. Okay, well, I'll explain. Hold on. Tell me what this thing, how does it go to anti-war?
So there's an affiliate program for Story Games where you can create a link that is yours, and then you'll get a percentage of whatever anybody spends in the game, right? Well, I set up mine, and this wasn't my idea. This was Ole's idea. There's a list of charities, including Free Ross and whatever, so you can set up your affiliate program to donate your cut to some charity if you want. So I set up mine to donate to Anti-War.
Very cool. All right. Do you know what the game he's talking about, Drew?
I really don't.
It just dropped yesterday. Sorry. This is a
okay,
whole new
thing. Real quick. We only got a minute here.
I'm sorry. I don't know, Davi.
Okay, this is it. He's been working the art with Oli, this guy, and they gave a presentation at Porkfest. And bottom line is they have like 7 games that are storyboard games, like, you know, Dragon's Lair or whatever. But it has the authoritarian sociopathy kind of thing that has like a Larkin Rose character of your whatever the hell they coded that. He has his Winchester house, you know, kind of the history of it. It's a storyboard game that you go through on your phone, and it just released. Well, in there, you can have affiliate status to be able to sell. People get the game and everything, and part of that portion of money spent on the game for that account goes to a charity or whatever, and he picked antiwar.com. So,
I'm just curious, Ernie, if your pirate ships fly above the ocean, does that make you the overseers?
Hell yeah.
We're just seeing over.
I'm seeing over.
Right.
You know, and that's the one, that most recent letter that we're working on now is on that very issue. You know, we're kind of like, you know, can we go
How far do we have to go?
Yeah, how far we got to go? All right, here we go.
.lrn.fm.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Sounding louder, right on the peace train. Come on, the peace train.
Come on.
The peace train, holy roller. Everyone jump on the peace train. Come on, the peace train. Get your bags together. Go bring your good friends too.
You know, one thing, we've had waxed and waned, you know, a lot of the peace train. You know, have we been, in what phase of American society are we? Pro-war, anti-war, and this happens, you know, over time. And I remember anti-war started during the Kosovo, and this was Clinton administration, and the fact, and I think the first time I saw it was a bumper sticker that Mike Duggar had on his car, and he had WorldNet Daily, WND, you know, WorldNet Daily was the first kind of like, you know, like a Freedom's Phoenix. It was an aggregator of news and so on back in the 90s and showed how it could be done. And some libertarian writers went over there, and it was kind of a conservative thing that just wanted writers that, you know, could write. And then it kind of just went, you know, down the dark side and conservative and let's go kill somebody. But WorldNet Daily started off just to demonstrate what could be done. At the same time, you had antiwar.com, which was, you know, libertarians, Eric Garris, an affiliation working on the websites or whatever with Lou Rockwell. So, you know, antiwar.com wasn't too far removed from Lou Rockwell, and in the same crowd knows some people. And this was, and then Justin Raimondo that passed away last year, you know, from cancer. He'd been fighting for a while. You know, these, right, if it wasn't antiwar.com, where was it? Where was the anti-war movement? Well, the only time it would rear its head is if they wanted to have a, you know, 3.6% advantage for some candidate, Democrat or whatever, and then they went to warmongering first chance they got. So there's been times it's waxed and waned, the people for and against, and during the Bush administration, before it went to Obama, it was really rising up, anti-war, and then Obama got in, started bombing everybody. Then you got Trump going, I'm anti-war, and then, the first day inauguration, you get Yemen, you know, cruise missile strikes. So I'm just going, there is some, you know, where are we in this process? You know, from your paying attention with anti-war, Drew, you know, where are we at? I mean, are we, you know, trending towards a public opinion of no, or is it like they're going to get you out? Yeah, but them Iranians, damn it, I don't like how them North Koreans look, and they're not being compliant. Or, I mean, where are we at? How likely are we to go in another war?
I mean, Sheikh's magic eight ball, you know, odds are high. I think that we're in the cycle, right? We're in the presidential cycle again, and now is our opportunity to be seen and be a part of that discussion. And it's unfortunate that this country, you know, has that sort of cycle mentality where it's only every 4 years or 2 years is this stuff, you know, especially foreign policy, only every 4 years is this really important. And now it's come back front and center, and like I said in the opening segment, there's a lot of, you know, division amongst sort of the you know, these different coalitions and organizations, and we're friendly to all of them, right? I mean, obviously, antiwar.com is run by generally libertarian leaning people, but it's time to put the minutia aside, and you know, libertarians are guilty of this stuff too. Where, well, you know, Answer Coalition is run by communist socialists, yada yada, and it's really not helpful. It's a divide and conquer tactic that's used against us. That we are marginalized, and the American people don't really get to understand these organizations better and get involved with them, because it's just part of the political cycle. And if you're not going to go to these various organizations and read what they have to say and participate in the discussion, and you're just going to go to the mainstream media, then all you're going to get is, well, you know, Tulsi's a crackpot, and you know, but Bernie has a reasonable foreign policy, so you know, that's where you should put your money and vote, and of course the mainstream media would marginalize the Libertarian Party as they do. So and they'll defend, you know, and on the right wing side they'll defend Donald Trump, and I think that you know, talking about that not great hashtag thing that Dobby was working on, I don't really want to listen to 3 hours of Frank Tamburi, but I want to know the short answer of the question is. Is he just going to defend Donald Trump and make excuses for him when he would have to recognize that Donald Trump campaigned on an idea of having a smaller foreign policy, of not being such an interventionist? And, our freedoms are over there, and Trump's going to rationalize that. And, you know, it's a very tense situation. And,
it's all part of a three-day chess strategy to end war by fighting war.
I never denied that Trump wasn't playing four-dimensional chess. I just never gave him credit for being any good at it.
I just think he doesn't know the rules of four-dimensional chess.
Right.
So, he's playing four-dimensional checkers.
I saw that one. He's playing checkers while everybody else is playing chess. But, you know, look, to your question, Ernie, yeah, I think that Americans all of a sudden care again, and that's important, and that's our opportunity to get ahead of this. And, you know, again, antiwar.com primarily is a news organization, and primarily the people that work here are cranking out news day in and day out. But every now and again, we get to do something fun and do some community engagement and give people a chance to express themselves. And, you know, we're looking for something a little more above just an internet meme and a you know, kind of counter propaganda, you know, anti-war poster art. And there's some sort of examples up there on the website and the link on your site. And I do hope that a lot of graphic artists and activists get involved in that, because that's just one way we can, you know, to take the Matrix quote from your opening, you know, broadcast our signal back into the Matrix and let people know that peace is a very mainstream opinion, and that people are getting sick and tired of this. People generally understand the human cost is too high. They generally understand that the financial cost is too high, and that it doesn't benefit us. And that, as your guest said, there is nothing over there that is a threat to our freedom. The thing that is a threat to our freedom is us going over there and losing American lives and just, you know, meddling in the Middle East continuously.
Regime change. That's one thing Tulsi Gabbard kept going on about, this regime change thing. I'm again, and regime change is bad, and the regime change. So who's for regime change? Well, Hillary and Bill Kristol. I mean, these guys are all, this is a tactic. And I'm getting the impression, you know, Trump too, but then he made the point in Iran. He goes like this. He goes, now we don't want to change your regime. We just want to change your regime's behavior. I'm not sure what the difference is, you know, but that's what they're saying. So he's definitely going, I'm not for regime change.
I think that means open up a central bank and we're not going to drop nukes on you.
Right.
I mean, because it's like Iran and North Korea.
No, your behavior is you're going to do what the hell we're telling you and get on the SWIFT program of get right with the world, and we'll lift the sanctions of your, like,
is
something.
This all going to end with a Trump Tower in Tehran? Is that what's going to happen?
I hope it's as a result of free trade. Then that would be a good thing.
I like this North Korea thing. I just know that after he's out of office, Trump is going to get that artillery beach in North Korea, and he's going to build a condo. a complex up there. You go, look, beautiful. Are you kidding me, Kim Young grandson? This is awesome. You know how I developed this? And you're wasting it on, you know, freaking anti-amphibious assault, you know, crap. You know, so there'll be some interesting things happening.
That's why, even just for economic reasons, I'm like, oh, I hope Trump can embrace a trade policy that overtakes a war policy, but doesn't look like it's going that way, unfortunately. Free trade with North Korea, what a blessing that would be.
And what's going on with North Korea from antiwar.com? You know, how they looking at this? Because it looks to me like he's like, hey, you're not paying enough attention to me. I'm going to, like, shoot more nukes and stuff and give me something.
I'm never amazed at your ability to simplify foreign policy, you know, complex
Well, that's a bumper sticker. That's what it's come down to. It's always they threaten stuff and you give them grain or give them something. They're not paying attention to him. He's looking at impeachment. He's like, hey, nuclear missiles over here. I got Polaroids. I mean, come on, you know. So what do you think? Are we got a North Korea, you know, thing going on?
Look, I think that we have a president who is very good at analyzing threats and using them to his advantage to scare the American people into blindly going along with his 4D checker game.
It's 4D checker game. All right. And excuse me, antiwar.com, they go there and it'll be now here, I'll do it. Go to antiwar.com and you have the, or you can go to today's archive, but you go to antiwar.com and you got the contest rules on there somewhere. Where's that?
Antiwar.me, I think it's /poster-art-contest. Yeah, it's in your show notes. It's on all of our social media. Follow us on Instagram to see the results. Get on the email list daily, weekly, and the activist list at antiwar.me, and get all the updates. We're not hard to find.
Go.
Cryptocurrency and peace.
There we go. Thanks, Drew. We'll see you Saturday, man.
Right on, man. Thanks.
Are you going to be there at the beginning, or you show up whenever you feel like it?
When's Jacob on?
I don't know.
I'm officially a member, I guess, but I don't know what that means. If I have to like vote for something, I don't know. I'm not really
mandatory voting in the Libertarian Party.
Well, Arizona, you have to be a registered Libertarian. That's the criteria for being a member of the state party, or it was.
Oh, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Now I talked to Kilski and Howard Blitz a few days ago, Monday or something, because I wanted to go, because I'm going to the convention, so I wanted to be a delegate. And they had a list of delegates on the front page, and I go, wow. And they go, well, you have to notify us a week before. All right, well, then I sent it, you know, and if I made it, at least be a write-in or whatever, because not all these guys go, you know. I'll wind up sitting with Arizona anyway, and if not, there's 50 gazillion other places that'll, you know, have me. So it's because they pretty much anybody, just, you know, who's got opens, and I'm there. But this one I think is going to be kind of full. What's your impression of the Austin convention? You think there's going to be a lot of people there representing?
Yeah, I mean, I can recognize that there's this insurgent, you know, interest in the LP and the Mises people doing their thing, and, you know, but I think Vermin's in striking distance. I think that's interesting.
Hell yeah.
And
Kokesh has got skills. He's out doing the delegate count thing. You know, he's been, you know, for a couple of years he's been working on that, so he's going to have a chunk.
I would never have anything terrible to say about Jacob Hornberger, but you know, he's not universally loved, and you know, a guy, you know, so Vermin's in striking distance. I guess there's other candidates. I didn't know.
Yeah, I've had some of them.
But yeah, so that's cool. I kind of have to go with, you know, I think Jeff Dice has talked at length about the amount of money that is wasted on electoral politics. And maybe not wasted. People do what they want to do. It's your money. Do what you want to do. I don't judge. But on electoral politics, and I certainly wouldn't justify a trip to Austin just to cast a vote for nobody or Berman or whatever. I can't justify that. But, you know, best luck to him. And everything has an accumulative effect. I'm all for it. You know, so go do your thing, but.
Yeah, no, I think we'll have the bus ready by then, so that'd be a good place to start on that. But the, when is it in the
I didn't know about this. What'd you do? Did you rob a Greyhound or something?
Okay, this is the deal. Donna and I decided, you know, just to get out from under. I think the economy's going to take a hit again. I think land's going to get cheap, and it's going to be silver and precious metals are going to jump up, maybe a little bit of crypto, and I might be able to, okay, I buy this hunk of land, and, you know, and I start, you know, building domes or whatever. And I was called up to Washington State, said, you know, we want to send you on the road again and do for the vaccine issue what you did for the Lovolution. And I knew what that meant. And I'm going, look, I don't want to be flying around. I said, I'll tell you what, this kind of dovetails into what Don and I are doing. We need to get everything paid off, be debt-free, accumulate some resources, buy some land for the next, you know, downturn that happens, take advantage of our own advice. So I go, and we need to get small because we got so much crap, and it's just, you know, I just need, the technology is now that we can get smaller and live whatever. So this is the plan. We have two 40-foot shipping containers coming that we're going to pack everything into, and Jay found us a big, like MCI, like a Greyhound bus that's all converted. You know, it's got HVAC ducted, a top air conditioner, one underneath, a 7-kilowatt generator, inverters for the solar, and blah blah. And it's really nice inside. They decorated, and there was a retired plumber did it up, and it's happening. Jay found that. Bob Anderson was back east, and they both went and looked at it for me. And Derek goes, if you don't buy it, I'm buying it. This thing is awesome and kicks ass, and it's all upgraded and everything. So I go, all right, do it. Pull the trigger. They buy it. You know, we bought it. So we, you know, get that. And he just picks it up tomorrow, I think. It's already been paid for. So Jay's picking it up tomorrow, putting it on his place, doing some upgrades to it and so on. He wants to put the aftercooler on the turbo to get more power and exhaust or whatever. And then we need to install the different panels in the studio and embed everything. So it's all done. It's just now and then Davi's doing the wrap on it. So we've been designing that. He has a template for that and so on. So starting May, I hit the road for a year. That's our commitment. Donna and I are going to be traveling the country, doing the show and the site and everything from the road, going to all these different festivals and functions. And the main focus is helping get this information out of just the information on this vaccine thing, what's really going on, because I know that's going to break. I'm like, two things, my main focus, it's property rights. One, I own my body, and my kids and grandkids don't belong to the crown. That's for damn Skippy. And then I want to own my own land. If it pleases the crown, may I occupy my own land. You say it's okay to put a tent, you know, on the sidewalk downtown, but if I do that on my land, I go to jail. I'm like, what the F is up with that? So I want to bring attention to that. Well, just yesterday, I did this long podcast with a guy on this land patent stuff and everything that answered my questions, where it came from that all of a sudden we didn't really own the land anymore. I'm like, how did that happen? And I knew if I bitched about it enough, I'd find out. Well, a listener in San Diego, this guy has a thing in the 1st of March that he's doing in Kingman, and he's from Oregon, and he's got his own following, but he's an older guy, and he just needs to get his book, you know, that he has, you know, get it up on Amazon, have a web page. I mean, you know, that simple stuff. But he's one of these guys that, you know, went through and been doing this, bringing this patent forward thing that Alma's always going on about. And I go, yeah, how do you do it? Where's it at? Well, we found out. So I'm going, all right, cool. So those two issues, I own my body, I own my land, or don't tell me we're, you know, home of the land of the free and home of the brave crap, you know, because that is all BS if I don't own my land and they get the tax and all this stuff. So that is for a year. Donna and I are going to travel the country, visit all our old friends, you know, hook up with all the old activists, you know, see what's up and bring attention to this stuff. And I'm already booked up. I mean, it's just, like, if I was to do the Soho thing and then go to the Austin thing and then the things in between, we're filled up for like ever, you know. So that's what we're doing. And after that year, we'll find some land and then we'll do our thing. So that's what's up. All right, I got to get to my next guest, man. Talk to you later, buddy. And we'll give you all details Saturday.
Yeah, I'll see you Saturday.